Ever wonder where the food you're eating comes from? Who grew it? Where did it come from? How did it get to the supermarket shelf? Christine is here to help out. Today, we're looking at
corn. So corn on the cob, corn fritters, corn bread, corn relish, popcorn. My guest has a story worthy of the big screen, I have to say. So popcorn would not be out of place, but I'm taking you to Trandos Farm. And the history of it begins with one man, Dimitrios Trandos. Now, here's a bit of his story told by his sons.
My father came to Australia in 1937 or 38. My father didn't come to Australia to bring his family over. He came here to make some money so they can buy more land back in Macedonia, Greece.
The thing is that we even didn't have lights, didn't have a refrigerator. A toilet was about 500 metres away from, or yards away from the house. We didn't care. Somehow, all we cared was there was food in our table at the time.
Yeah, wow. Oh, so in 1938, foreseeing upheaval that was soon to envelop Greece, Dimitrios Trandos left his wife Dimitroula and their two sons in their hometown village in northern Greece. Dimitrios came here, grew vegetables on a small plot of land, in Wanneroo called Papa's Swamp. And it would be 11 years before his family joined him. Four generations later, Trandos Farm is the largest grower of sweet corn in the state. And I'm joined now by Dimitrios' grandson, Jim. Good afternoon, Jim.
Good afternoon, Christine. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much for coming on. Now, Jim, first off, tell me about your name, because it's not really Jim, is it?
No, it's not really. It's Dimitrios, and you said it beautifully. Yes, my real name is actually Dimitrios. I'm actually named by our founder.
Yes, I went to Greek school, so I've been trained well. And what a story your family has now. Can you tell me the rest of it? Why did it take over a decade for your grandmother, your dad and uncle to join your grandfather here in Australia?
Yeah, it's just a pretty interesting story, actually. So immediately after the war, Greece had a civil war. So communication was very poor, and it took nearly 10 or 11 years before they reconnected. And eventually my grandfather bought my grandmother and my dad and my uncle. And my dad and uncle are still with us, of course, about 11 years after.
And what was it like for them at the time? What kind of stories have been passed down through the family, Jim?
You know, like they said in that little snippet there, what they tell me is they came out of, you know, a civil situation that was pretty horrible, and they ended up in the bush here in Wanneroo. It's only about 3 kilometres from where our packing shed is now, and there was, like, abundance of food, and it was safe. And it was green, you know, it was very foreign animals and foreign, but they were remarkably happy.
And your website has some fantastic black and white photos of the early days of the farm. Can you tell me what it looked like? What was the setup like at that time, Jim?
You know, what I've been told, I've been at it for quite a while. I've just turned 60, so I've been at it for quite a while. But in the early days, things were irrigated on the edge of a swamp. So they trenched the edge of a swamp. They'd use the water in the swamp. They'd put these farrows in, and they'd grow cabbages or tomatoes or whatever they could on these farrows, and that's where they'd pick the water up. So basically, it was, you know, it wasn't irrigated, so to speak. It was in a swamp. That's what they call it, Papa Swamp.
Yeah, and it would have been so far away at the time as well, Jim.
Yeah, well, I've heard stories about how long it took to Perth. Of course, now you can get to the end of the freeway in like 25 minutes, and you know, everyone used to think Wanneroo was such a distant place, but you know, we're all close now. So
yeah, very true. Mm. So from Papa Swamp in Wanneroo to farms in Nirrabup, Gingin, Bimulla, and Broome, what does Trandos Farm, the business, look like now?
Well, it's a lot different. I mean, we only grow corn and beans, and the reason why we grow corn and beans is, it's mechanical, so it's all picked by machine. It's packed by hand, but it's picked by machine. And we're lucky enough to live in Western Australia where we've got the climate, the warm climate all year round. So what we simply do is we move from the north to the south and the south to the north, and we basically follow the sun. And because of how big our state is, we've got a 12-month growing season, which gives us quite a big advantage. And if you have to do the same thing overseas, you may have to cross several countries, continents to do the same thing. But in our case, we don't have to move states. On the East Coast, they move from like Victoria to Queensland, luckily, but here we don't have to move a state. So we're very lucky.
Wow, I didn't know that. And you are the largest grower of sweet corn in WA. So which site is the corn grown on then, Jim?
Well, it's grown across the two sites in Gingin and the site in Broome. What happens, we grow beans here in Wanneroo. So what happens is we just simply seed every week somewhere over the four farms. So we spend the summer down here, and then we start seeding next week in Broome, and we'll start harvesting around June, and then we stop harvesting in Gingin, and we've got these big American machines that we ship up there, and we have people that live there on the Broome farm,
That makes sense. And wow, so does that mean a lot of travel for you, or do you like you mentioned, you have teams established at each farm?
Not so much for me. My brother Arthur, I'll consider him the father, and my cousin Michael, not me. I'm the office jock.
Someone's got to do it, Jim. Yeah.
Someone's got to do it. Yeah. So the joke is that I look at everything from a ute. That's their joke, not mine.
But you still know the ins and outs, right?
That's it. So my brother flies up and spends several days a month up there, and we've had some great staff that have been running the place for quite a long time, you know, and we've got quite a lot of longevity in our staff, and they do an excellent job. Over all four farms, actually, we've got great young fellas that do the job.
Yeah, good one.
And girls.
It's a quarter to one. Jim Trandos is my guest. We're talking about corn and where does your food come from. If you love corn, you eat it a lot, and you've got a question about how it's grown, get it in now on 0437 922 720, and Jim will field your questions. So let's talk about some of the basics. Is sweet corn different to normal corn, or is it the standard corn on the cob we'd be familiar with, Jim?
Well, all the sweet corn now that's in supermarkets is what they call super sweet corn. It's quite different to what was around 30 or 40 years ago. The advent of super sweet corn came in about 25, 30 years ago, and the sugar content is much higher than it used to be. So as a young kid, you'd smell the corn boiling and you'd eat it. It tastes like cardboard. Well, it's quite a different experience now.
Ah, is that because of consumer demand? Why the change?
Yeah, I would say so. It's all in the breeding. It's how the corn's bred. So unfortunately, you don't always get good yield with good tasting experience. So they don't always meet each other. And we grow a lot of different varieties because we grow all year round. And depending on the end of the season, the beginning of the season, we might switch varieties three or four times.
So, okay, how many different varieties and colours are there then, Jim?
Well, there's lots of different varieties. We probably go six or seven during the year, and we do that for a number of reasons. One is, you know, if we get extreme heat, some may perform better than others, and there's lots of different varieties. Most of the corn's produced in Australia. It's produced out of Victoria, and, you know, it's a hybrid seed, so we buy the seed.
Right. So is super sweet corn a variety, or is that just how?
Just the type.
The type. Okay.
Just the type.
Gotcha.
So there's lots of super sweet varieties, and in some countries now they're coming out with triple sweet varieties, but they're not available here. Yeah, and they're very soft, so they are something that's difficult to pick with a machine.
Okay. All right. Now.
Hopefully it'll come into the country shortly.
Yeah, oh, look, I'm sure there'll be a rush for it. Now, what about purple corn, rainbow corn?
Yeah, we can't really grow those little things. They're more of a niche market. And if you do grow those close to a commercial crop, they will cross-pollinate. So what'll happen is you'll end up with little purple dots in yellow corn, and that won't work. won't work for us anyway. Aww. unless it becomes...
It'll work for the West Coast Eagles fans, I reckon, but, you know, just an idea. I've got a question from Nola in Bunbury, who actually wants to know what the colourful corn tastes like. Hi, Nola.
Hi, and probably the last comment sort of, you know, covered everything. But I just wondered, what do they taste like, the heritage corns, the coloured corns? Are they different? Why are they different? Why aren't they growing so much these days?
Yeah, good question. Jim?
I really don't know what they taste like. I'll be honest, I really don't know what they taste like. It is hard to get. It is a really niche, small thing. It's not what I do. We do mainstream product. We tried white corn some years ago.
Oh, yeah?
Because it's popular. In some countries, white corn is the most popular corn you'll find. In some states in America, it's predominantly white. In other countries, in some of the Africas, it's white. And that didn't take here at all. But with some of the coloured corn, I believe it's good. I believe it's exciting, but we unfortunately can't grow it because we'll get cross-pollination.
Uh-huh.
So,
okay.
I'm a Richmond supporter, so I might go yellow and blue if I could, but yellow and black. Yeah.
Good to know. My guest is Jim Trandos. We're talking about corn and where does your food come from? 0437 922 720. I'll get to your text very soon. Now, what is the first step in growing it from seed? How hard is it to do, Jim?
Okay, so basically, it takes years to pick the right variety. So you've got to pick the variety that works for you and climates. All growers will tell you this. All farms will tell you. Not all seed, not all varieties work in particular areas. So you firstly got to buy the seed. So we buy the seed from seed producers and wholesalers, and we've got to pick. And then it's a treated seed, and it gets put into an air seeder, vacuum seeder, and then it gets drilled out into the field.
Yeah, and what kind of soil do you need for it?
Okay. Corn's pretty versatile. It's grown all over the world. But in our case here in Wanneroo and Gingin, the soil is sandy. And then we move to Broome, it's quite different. It's the red pindan soil that you see in the outback. And that is quite different to what we do here.
Yep. And so what time of year do you tend to put it in, or does that depend on the site that we're talking about?
It just depends on the time of year. So if we're in Broome, we'll start seeding in Broome, like I said, next week, and we'll continue on seeding until probably September, mm-hmm. and we'll move out of Broome in around about middle of December, and then we'll move back down here to Gingin.
And so, what kind of upkeep does corn need whilst growing? Is it water hungry? Are there a lot of pests? What's it like, Jim?
Yeah, well, it is water hungry. So most of our corn, all our corn is produced over centre pivot. So that's the travelling irrigators, the circles. So if you're flying to Broome and if you're flying commercially, if the plane's about to descend, you can feel about 20 minutes out. If you look out, you'll see a whole bunch of circles in the ground. Well, that's our Broome property. So it's predominantly centre pivot. So, yeah, of course, we have all the normal things that all plants do. We have pests and insects and diseases, and they're the normal things that you've got to treat. But, you know, in some cases, we use predatory insects. We actually have wasps that are produced in Mushay, and we put them in the field and they attack the pest problem that we have.
Predatory wasps.
Predatory wasps, Trichogramma wasps, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. So how long does it take for the corn to actually form?
Well, from seed, you call it about 75 to 80 days
mm-hmm.
from seed average up between the farms. As it cools off now, we've got corn in on both our farms in Gingin. They will slow down. They might end up to 100 days, even 110 days. But typically in good growing conditions during the summer, it'll be 75 days. We have produced the corn from seed as quickly as 58 days in Broome, my brother Arthur tells me.
Oh, wow.
So that is amazing. It's amazing even for me. So basically it's like growing in a glasshouse.
Wow. So, that's amazing. Yeah. So is it picked?
It is amazing.
Or harvested by hand? You said picked, didn't you, Jim? Hand picked.
Picked or harvested. So we harvest with machine.
Yep, got you. Yep. Harvest by machine. Sorry, that's right. And how do you sort the corn? How do you know what will go to the supermarket and what may not?
Right. So what happens is the machine goes in and picks. We pick at night or early morning, so the guy will go in there and start harvesting. Then if we're picking in Gingin, the trucks will then come to Wanneroo, which is about an hour. They get put into large bins and into the cool room, and they're pre-cooled overnight. And then they're put on a production line where we will choose whether we put it in the packaged product or into a whole product or into a ready-made product.
Uh-huh.
So it depends on the size of the corn, the type of the corn, you know. So, if depending on what it looks like, and then the floor manager and we'll make a selection.
Gotcha. Okay. And the leaves, do they determine which criteria this particular piece of corn fits, I guess?
No, that's a good question. Yeah. So if it looks nice, if it's got a good husk, and it presents well, we use it as whole corn. And gladly, whole corn has increased in popularity. It's moved forward about to the packaged product.
Awesome.
So it does depend on what it looks like. If it's been sunburnt, obviously, if there's any leaves that are dry, then it's better to cut and put into a package. And then all the waste that we use, by the way, all the waste that we have in the corn and beans, we send back up to Gingin and we feed cows with.
Oh.
So we don't waste anything. Nothing goes to landfill.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, not at all.
And do you clean the corn before it gets sent to the shops? How does that work, Jim?
No, we may clean the husk off, but we don't know, because corn is you know, predominantly needs to be cooked. It's considered a low risk product in the food industry.
Yep.
So we don't actually clean it or wash it. No, we don't.
All right. And how long from paddock to the shops? Tell me
that question. Depending on if it's here, it can be like 48 hours. Once harvested in Broome, it can be like 72 hours, so it's fairly quick.
Okay. All right, let's get to some questions. We've got 5 minutes left. Jan says, corn, love it in a can or cooked from frozen or on the barbecue, nice and natural on the cob, butter and pepper. But is it best cooked with husks on? What's your opinion on that, Jim?
Oh, that's everybody's personal preference, of course. But if you put it on the barbecue on the husk, you can cook it that way. I sometimes take the husk off on a grill and just roll it, and as it pops, that means that it's pretty much ready.
Yep.
So it's a person's personal preference. So I'll even put it in the microwave with a husk on and just peel it off. So if you cut the butt end of the corn off, you'll be able to pull it all off and all the silk off. So there's a trick for you.
Yes, gotcha. Teresa, I'm not sure whether you can feel this, Jim, but I'll ask you anyway. Where can I buy the little Asian corn seed? I grew them once but didn't save my seed. Do you know, Jim?
You mean the baby corn?
The wording was little Asian corn seed, so maybe.
You can buy. Yeah. I'm not sure. It's a trick question. I'm not sure.
Okay. Baby corn seed, though, if we were talking about baby corn seed.
Yeah, you could probably get baby corn seed. Yeah, that it would be available. They can email me and I'll tell them. I'll find it for them.
All right. We'll get your email address afterwards.
I'll be
Thank
my
you.
Public service.
Good man. Right. Andrew says, Demetrios, he's used your proper name. Is there any native foods that would lend itself to your type of farming? I don't know what that means. Native foods,
perhaps in Broome. I don't know. Maybe talking about native
Bush
foods that can grow around Broome. I'm not really sure.
Okay, all right. Peter says, is there a difference between corn and maize?
Yes, there's a predominant difference. Maize is predominantly a cattle feed.
Uh-huh.
So it's quite different. Yeah, quite different. Looks different. Maize is bigger. Typically, it's more robust. It's typically cattle feed. Yeah.
Wow. Look at that.
Some people call it the same around the world, but there is quite a big difference.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gary says, I love corn on the cob, but recently had a hard time buying little plastic or metal skewers that go in the ends. I finally got some on our local Buy Nothing site. Well, that is dedication, Gary. Have you got a recommendation for an alternative, Jim? You could stick anything in the end, couldn't you? Really, your pen.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Toothpicks. I don't know. Multiple toothpicks. I really don't know.
Oh, I admire that dedication, though. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Ron in North Frio. Last night, two beautiful large corns from the supermarket were 70 cents each. How? How does pricing work, Jim?
Oh, it's just demand. It's just demand and shortages, that's all, supply and demand. So at the moment, is he saying how it's cheap or how it's dear? I don't know.
It's cheap, 70 cents each, I would think.
Okay. Yeah, so at the moment, especially between like January, February, March, the whole of the country can produce corn, right? So you can grow corn anywhere in Australia. And there is a lot of corn around the country at the moment, and that's probably why the price is where it's at.
Okay. Dennis says, I purchase tins of corn for salads. If the tins is Australian made, are they from WA suppliers and farmers? Is that the case, Jim?
Definitely not.
Definitely not.
Okay. No, there is no processing in Western Australia of corn. There is, it's on the East Coast.
Really? Yep.
Oh. Definitely not. No. There is no processing yet. No.
So does that mean that all of the corn that you grow goes out as whole food?
It's all fresh.
Yeah. Wow.
All fresh or packaged in the packs you see in the supermarket.
Yeah.
And we send a lot of product interstate. We send a lot of product daily to Adelaide, Sydney and Melbourne. We also export to Singapore, Hong Kong and Dubai nearly weekly.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Okay. And what percentage of your growth goes to WA supermarkets?
Oh, that's a good question. Oh, depending on the time of year, probably between 60 and 70%.
Nice. How does temperature affect corn? What is the best way to store, firstly?
Yeah, as cold as possible, but not in the freezer.
Yep.
So and as cold as you can. As long above freezing is fine.
Okay. And climate.
1 degree if you can.
When it comes to, if say we have a heat wave, is that a good thing or a bad thing for corn?
It's a bad thing if there's a heat wave of several days, say 35 to 40 for several days, then you're picking ambient temperature. When we start picking at midnight, it still might be 32. So it's very difficult to get the field heat out. So we have to pack it and send it out as quickly as possible. The milder weather like now, the milder weather that we're having and the ambient temperature at night is much milder and it's much better for the product. But the heat waves are unavoidable because we live in Western Australia.
That's very true. Several
a year, yeah.
Jim, it's been so good to speak to you about corn. You can tell Arthur that you are like a farmer. Hey, thank you for coming on.
Thanks a lot. See ya.
Jim Trandos. So he and his family have been farming corn for quite some time. In fact, in 1938, his grandfather came here from northern Greece.